name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we come to this glorious feast of Easter, where you light up the world with that light of Christ. We open the Gospel of St. John to the 20th chapter, and we read that beautiful account of your resurrection and appearance first to Mary Magdalene. St. John tells us, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." Other evangelists will tell us that she was accompanied by that other Mary, the mother of James and John, and by Salome. And they came while it was still dark, eager to anoint your body for burial. The darkness outside symbolizes the darkness inside, in those good women who had followed you so closely, were filled with hope in everything that you said and did, and now you were dead. And they had been there at the crucifixion. They had seen your death. They had hoped that you would come down from the cross, as some were taunting you to do. But you didn't. You died. That was your plan, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, to redeem us by your death on the cross. And that horrible, painful, ignominious death of crucifixion. And finally they took you down from the cross, laid you in the tomb, and then went back and could not go to anoint you on the following day, which was the Sabbath, but came early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, with their hearts in darkness, in sadness. Everything was finished, but at least they had that love for you, that they would go and prepare your body for burial. And they come wondering how they will remove that great circular stone that guarded the tomb. And they see that it is already rolled away. And then St. John tells us that Mary ran to the apostles, to Simon Peter and the other disciple, who is John, and they too ran to the tomb, John arriving first in deference to Peter, allowing him to go in. And St. John tells us, "Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. They saw and believed. That linen cloth that had been around your head still wrapped round and round. And they believed that somehow you must have risen. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher, and now overwhelmed with joy, Mary sees that it is Jesus. She had thought that he was the gardener, and now it is Jesus, and he is risen. And she must have got down on her knees to clasp him by the legs, by the feet. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. What joy! From the darkness in the heart, from the darkness outside, to the light of Christ, to the light of joy. What a message Easter gives us, that Christ overcomes death by his death on the cross. He opens up the way to eternal life, and he shows the way to hope for those who do not have hope, who are in that darkness of despair, of discouragement, as the holy women were, as the apostles were, as those two disciples on their way to Emmaus were. Lord, they had hoped that you were the one to redeem Israel, but now it's the third day. And Lord, you are always the answer. You are the one that brings us light. And this is symbolized in the Easter Vigil ceremony, where the church is in darkness, and then the Easter candle is lit from the Easter fire. And the deacon or someone else says, "The light of Christ." And in that great darkness, there is just one light, the light of Christ. And then that light is passed to the Easter candles of the other people. And little by little, that church is lit up with one candle after another. And finally, when all the candles are lit, there's a great light in that church. And this symbolizes the darkness that reigned over the world after original sin, man estranged from God, banished from that garden of paradise, but awaiting redemption. And then finally, Christ comes. And he is the light of the world. And light returns to the world. And Lord, by your resurrection, you brought that light. By your ascension, you opened up heaven. And all those good people from Adam and Eve down to Saint Joseph and the other contemporaries of yours who had died before you could go to heaven, could receive that light. We can distinguish three attitudes and responses to the light. First, to accept the light. Second, to keep the light burning and make it grow. Third, to share our light with others. First, then, to receive the light, to accept the light. And many of us live in that light. We live in the light of faith. We believe. Our light was first lit in our baptism, symbolized by the baptismal candle given to the newly baptized, whether an infant or an adult. There's a light in their soul. God has taken possession of their soul. The Blessed Trinity has come to dwell in their soul. Their soul is lit up with the light of God. And we have that light, and many do not. Some, because they have sinned, have turned away from God and live in that darkness of sin. St. John describes it in his Gospel, recording, Lord, your words. Rejection lies in this, that when the light came into the world, men preferred darkness to light, preferred it because their doings were evil. Anyone who acts shamefully hates the light, will not come into the light, for fear that his doings will be found out. Whereas the man whose life is true comes to the light, so that his deeds may be seen for what they are, deeds done in God. And to those many who live in the darkness of sin, who have had their light lit in baptism, who have been believers, we invite them, come back. Come back to the light. Fill your soul with light. Fill your life with light, with hope. Live in love. Come back. And then there are those who are steeped in that darkness of despair, of sadness, for one reason or another. They have no hope. It is as if they came to the tomb and found that great stone guarding the tomb. They couldn't get in to where they wanted to go. Pope Francis spoke of this in his Wednesday audience on Wednesday of Holy Week in 2015. And he related it to the Easter Vigil and the light. He said, in the great Easter Vigil, in the late evening, in which the Alleluia resounds again, we celebrate the risen Christ, center and end of the cosmos and of history. We watch full of hope while awaiting his return, when Easter will have its full manifestation. Sometimes the darkness of night seems to penetrate the soul. Sometimes we think, no, there is nothing to be done. And the heart no longer finds the strength to love. However, precisely in that darkness, Christ lights the fire of the love of God. A flash breaks the darkness and announces a new beginning. Something begins in the most profound darkness. And there's so many who say there's nothing to be done. There's no solution. We have come to the end. And the Pope is saying, no, Christ is with us. Christ lights the fire of the love of God. And he goes on, we know that the night is darkest before the day begins. However, precisely in the darkness, it is Christ that conquers and lights the fire of love. The stone of sorrow is overturned, leaving space for hope. See the great mystery of Easter. On this holy night, the Church gives us the light of the risen one, so that in us there is not the lament of the one who says, now, but the hope of one who opens himself to a present full of the future. Christ has conquered death, and we with him. Our life does not end before the stone of the sepulchre. What a beautiful image. Our life does not end before that stone. It goes through the stone, which is rolled away, to the light, to Christ, to love, to hope. And the Pope goes on, our life goes beyond with the hope of Christ who has risen, in fact, from the sepulchre. We are called as Christians to be watchmen of the morning who are able to perceive the signs of the risen one, as the women and the disciples did who went to the sepulchre at dawn on the first day of the week. And for all those who are steeped in sorrow, in sadness, even in despair, Christ is the light. Come to that light. And then there are those who have never believed. And everyone is searching. Everyone is searching. Because they're searching for truth, for ultimate answers. Where did this world come from? Is there life after death? Is there a God? God is the ultimate answer to those questions. And they're looking for happiness. And they know they're not going to find it in this world. Yes, up to a point. But earthly goods can only give us a relative happiness because the soul is spiritual and it seeks the infinite. And only the infinite good, who is God, can truly satisfy that longing for happiness. And that's why St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions, Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And only in God will those non-believers find the hope, the joy, the light, the truth that they are looking for. And they can pray, if they don't believe, Lord, increase my faith, give me faith, help me to believe in you. I want to believe. I want to have light in my soul. Now I live in darkness. Give me light. And for those of us who have the light already, we come to the second stage, to keep the light burning. That light was lit for the first time in baptism. We go through life, and inevitably we sin. We're all poor people. We all sin. And sometimes if we commit a grievous sin, a mortal sin, that light goes out. We are once again in darkness, but we can relight it, coming back through that gateway of the active contrition, sorrow of love, with the resolution to go to confession at the first opportunity. And then already with that act of contrition, the light is rekindled. But we must go to confession before we can go to communion. But the light is rekindled. Let us not live in darkness. Let us light it again and then keep it burning. And how do we keep our light burning? By giving it fuel. And what is the fuel for the light of faith? The sacraments. To receive that sacrament of Holy Communion, where Christ comes into our soul. He lives in us, and we live in him, as he said in the synagogue of Capernaum. That grace of the sacrament of penance, which we need and which we should receive so often, instead of waiting until we have sinned mortally, that we go to confession often and we won't commit so many sins. That grace of the sacrament of penance and of the Eucharist keeps our light burning. And then, of course, our prayer, where we grow, Lord, in friendship with you. We talk with you. We listen to you. And that increases the light in our soul. And then our penances, that purify us of that self-love, of that love for the world that drags us down, that drags us away from you. And penance brings us closer to you. And then our spiritual reading, that we read about you in the scriptures, that we read those love letters of God to man that are the scriptures, and those other spiritual books written by saints, the lives of saints, and people who are not saints but have so much to tell us about the spiritual life. All of this makes our light burn more brightly. And then, too, we have to protect our light from the winds. And the winds are strong today. The winds of atheism, of disbelief, of skepticism, of immorality. And all of this can blow against our light. And if our light is just a single candle, a slight puff of wind can blow it out. We must protect it. And we protect it by avoiding the occasions of sin. And each one of us will know what those occasions are, whether it is certain television programs, films, internet sites, even people with whom we associate that gnaw away at our faith, that we protect this priceless gift of faith that God has given us, that we keep our light burning and that we make it grow ever brighter by giving it more fuel, by praying more, by receiving the sacraments more often, by going more often to Holy Mass, so that that light is not just a candle, it is a bonfire. It is a fire in the forest, a bushfire. And the stronger the wind, the more brightly and hot that fire burns. It becomes dangerous, and it sweeps before it burning houses and the forest. And sometimes human beings are killed in that great fire. Lord, we want a fire like that in our soul, because then we are led to the third attitude, the third response, to share our light with others. And we will do that very naturally if we have our light burning. People will see that we are different. Our life is lit up. We have hope. We have faith. We have kindness. We have that joy. And they're attracted to that. I was talking with a good woman not so long ago who, after many years of marriage, her husband became a Catholic, and she asked him, "Why do you want to become a Catholic?" And he answered very simply, "Because I want what you have." People will see what we have. We have joy. We have a light in our life, and they will want that. Lord, help us to give that good example, which will attract others to you. You said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hidden if it is built on a mountaintop. A lamp is not lighted to be put under a bushel measure. It is put on the lampstand to give light to all of the people in the house. And your light must shine so brightly before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And Lord, help us to let our light shine, that they see our good works. And yes, we sin too, but there will be more good works because we are a follower of yours, and you will help us. And people will see those good works, our kindness, our concern for them, our hard work, our honesty, and above all, our joy. And they will be attracted to you, to that light that you have lit in us, that light that you are, and that we not hide it under a bushel measure. And there will be occasions in which topics of God, of the church, of faith, of morality will come up, that we not hide then, that we ask you for the grace to say what you want us to say, so that we can speak out, and others can hear what we say, and perhaps be moved, and realize they are not on this way that we are, and they will want to be on this way. And then it will be not only our example, but our word. And that word is not something that puts pressure on anyone. It is simply a word that manifests our own faith. And we invite others, perhaps. We can suggest that they read a particular book or article, or invite them to a talk, to a retreat, whatever is appropriate for each one. But Lord, help us to speak to, not just to give good example, but to pray for our friends who don't believe or who live in that darkness of sin, that you need us to bring them back. And we can do that. And Saint John Chrysostom, one of the early fathers of the church, expresses this so eloquently about the role of Christians. He says, "Christ has appointed us to be like lamps, so as to be teachers to others, to act as leaven, to live like angels among men, like adults among children, like spiritual beings among the merely rational, to be seed and to yield fruit. There would be no need of speaking if our lives shone in this way. Words would be superfluous if we had deeds to show for them. There would not be a single pagan left if we were truly Christian. And Lord, help us to be truly Christian, to live in the joy of Easter, in the light of Christ that you are, that our lives shine, that others can see that light and they will be drawn to you by it. And this in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sinfulness, because we are not a paragon of virtue. We are poor, sinful creatures, but struggling to love you, and people will see the difference. Everyone sins, but some are trying harder, and we must be those people that are trying harder. We will draw many to you if we live this way. And then, just as happens in the church, in the Easter Vigil ceremony, the darkness is gradually overcome by individual lights, individuals who receive the light from Christ or from another standing next to them. And little by little, that light spreads in the church as the light of faith and of God spreads in the world, and we want it to spread. The world is trying to snuff out the light of faith, the light of belief in God. But we must be that countervailing force that brings God into the lives of others. And that light will overcome the darkness. The light is more powerful than the darkness. This is the victory over the world, our faith. And Lord, help us to increase our faith, that this feast of Easter influence us, that we enkindle our light, that we make it shine more brightly, that we can help so many others to find you, to experience this joy. And we go to Our Lady, the first disciple, the one whose life was lit up because she said yes to God, and she always did what God was asking, and she brought the light of Christ into the world at Bethlehem. And she kept her light burning, and she helped the apostles on that darkness of Holy Saturday to believe. And Lord, we are sure that you appeared first to her, first to your mother on Easter Sunday, and then afterwards to those others. And we ask Our Lady, Mary, help us to live as you did, to bring the light of Christ into our lives and through us into the lives of many. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.